From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in 1959. Ralph Wilson Jr. read that a new football league was going to be launched, and he reached out to Lamar Hunt about owning one of the teams. Hunt told Wilson that he could have one of the teams and they would play in Miami. Well, 50 years later, when he was being enshrined in the National Football League Hall of Fame, Wilson recalled what happened next. He said that Miami City leaders would not allow a team from a new league to lease the Orange Bowl, so that eliminated Miami as an option. Wilson says he flew home to Detroit, assuming his bid to join the league was finished. 5 days later, Lamar Hunt called back. He told Ralph Wilson that the new league needed an eighth team, and he would give Wilson the choice of five different cities. The story goes that Wilson chose Buffalo, and the Bills were born. Wilson died on March 25th of this year, and he has remained the only owner the Buffalo Bills have ever had. That's going to change soon, and among the names in the mix to take over the Bills, Donald Trump, John Bon Jovi, Jim Kelly, others. There are questions about which ownership groups would keep the Bills in Buffalo, which might seek to move the team eventually, and there are questions about what taxpayers might be asked to bear when it comes to a new stadium or if the franchise needs a new stadium. We want to hear from you this hour. Would you support the Bills with, say, Donald Trump running the team? What kind of owner does the franchise need? How important is the franchise to Western New York? In studio, we welcome a panel that will help explain what's coming. Mike Catalana, the sports director for 13 Wham News. Nice to see you, Mike.
Good to be back.
Scott Pitoniak's a journalist and an author who's covered the Bills for several decades. Scott, nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
Peter Gregory is offering the fan perspective, a season ticket holder and an attorney with an eye for some potential legal issues that some of these owners could face. Peter, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, well, first, we take Donald Trump seriously at our own peril here. He loves to be courted. He loves to have his ego stoked. And here's why I'm refusing to take this seriously. Let's listen to a couple of things just from the last couple of years. This is 2012, Donald Trump saying he was going to run for president, or at least he really, really thought he might really do it. Here's Donald Trump.
I am seriously thinking about it. I won't make a decision till June. But I will make a decision, and it may surprise people, frankly, but I will make a decision sometime prior to June.
And frankly, it did not surprise people. He did not run. Now, he's thinking about this year. He said he was thinking about running for governor of New York. Here is Donald Trump talking about, seriously, this time, seriously, he might actually seriously run for something.
Will Donald Trump run for governor?
If the party can unify, we're there. If they can't unify, I have other things to do.
When is the deadline?
There is no deadline. There's no deadline. I want to see a unified party. You see the kind of response we have today. I want to see a unified party. If we have a unified party, I will do it.
Well, he's not going to do it. And now his spokespeople say he's the best possible option to own the Bills and keep them in Western New York. Here's ESPN reporting that Donald Trump seriously is really seriously considering that.
Donald Trump, well, take a look. This is what he told the Buffalo News. I'm going to give it a heavy shot. I would love to do it. And if I can do it, I'm keeping it in Buffalo.
Okay, Mike Catalana, do you take it seriously?
Yeah.
You do?
And here's why I take it seriously. The other things were doomed to fail.
Yeah.
He's not going to win an election. He's certainly not going to be the president. I don't think he would ever be the governor. This is the biggest boys club in the world. There's only 32 of them. It is the biggest ego-driven thing you can do in America, I believe. I guess you could say run for president, but you know, this is maybe a little more personal in this way. And I believe he has the ego, and maybe, I don't know his finances. I think he's got the money at least to be considered seriously. But I believe the difference between this and the other things you're talking about is if he really wants to do this, he could accomplish it. I don't think the other things were ever a real possibility.
And interestingly, Mike, you talk about ego. You can run for president and that boosts your ego, but when you lose, especially if you lose horrifically,
yes,
that deflates your ego. If you own an NFL team, you can go 4-12 and you still own an NFL team.
The elections are a referendum on you personally. If he's in the running, he can always step out of the running to buy a team. He can always say he's in it. Maybe he is in it. Maybe someone's going to outbid him. Maybe he's not part of it. Maybe he says whatever he ends up saying. But I think to not look at it because it is so ego-driven, I think would be a mistake. Do I think he'll end up eventually owning the team? No. But I think it's different than the other things because this is more in his control. The other things are in the public's control, and I don't think he's got the votes. I don't think he's got the votes to win.
All right, Scott Pitoniak, do you take it seriously?
No. I agree with Mike in that it is different, and I totally agree with him that this is when you look for a plaything, For ego-driven men, there's nothing bigger than having a National Football League franchise. And there are similar personality types already in this fraternity. Jerry Jones, Daniel Snyder, there are others that obviously love to see their, as we used to say, their names on the back of the tabloids.
Jimmy Haslam?
Yeah. Yes.
Says yes. A Browns fan.
You know, so, but I don't, you know, there's some real skepticism here, you know, whether or not he has the financial wherewithal. I think Donald Trump is just one of those people who loves to throw his name out and just get the media exposure. He it's air to him. It's oxygen. He needs it. You know, there was some talk a while ago about him possibly buying the Yankees. I remember even when George Steinbrenner was still alive and stuff. And again, there's some real serious questions about if he truly has the financial wherewithal to do this. So I'm not. The minute that happened, I thought those clips you ran, it's the first thing I thought of was, yeah, I'm running for president. Yeah, I'm running for governor. Yeah, I'm doing this and that. And I really am not taking it seriously right now.
Now, when I asked on Twitter for the fan perspective, I asked, because once in a while you see fans saying, oh, if Donald Trump owns the Bills, I'm not going to watch them anymore. My reaction to that was, even if we don't take him seriously, Peter, you're the fan in the room here.
Right.
Isn't the goal to keep the team in Western New York number one, first and foremost? And if Donald Trump did that, don't you think people would at least stay with the team?
Yeah, I don't think the fans would go anywhere. I mean, these are fans that stood through year after year, even with Rob Johnson as quarterback. So if Donald Trump's the owner, I still think fans will be coming out and tailgating and enjoying.
But you
the game,
did not so. Take it seriously as a notion, a possibility.
No, I don't think Donald Trump will ever be the owner, even if he has the funds. I think those egos in the league will end up working against him because it's not up to Donald. Even if he has the money, the owners have to vote. The league requires 75% of the owners vote in a new member, a new owner. And, you know, what people forget is in 1986, he was the owner of a competitive league with the New Jersey Generals.
A team in the USFL.
Correct. And the USFL sued the NFL seeking $1.69 billion in antitrust. The league actually won the suit, but was awarded at only $1, which is then tripled to $3. But it's funny because one of those named defendants in that suit as the owner of the Buffalo Bills was Ralph Wilson. So now his wife is now the controlling owner. Is she going to want to sell the team to the man that sued her husband for $1.69 billion? And it's not just the Bills. Other teams in the NFL, their families now have inherited teams whose, you know, their legacies were once sued by Donald Trump and the USFL.
I think I read the 12 to 15 ownerships in the NFL are the same as there were 30 years ago when Trump was sort of making noise. Mike, does that bother NFL owners, or would they look at Donald Trump and say, welcome to the party?
No, it doesn't bother. It bothers them because, as Peter was saying, you're looking at having to get the approval of the Boys Club to be in there. And there's other billionaires that'll line up next to him. He's not the only guy with money. My only point about Trump is if he wants to pursue it, I just think he at least can stay in the ballgame and at least do that. The thing that I questioned right in the beginning was his immediate reaction to saying the team would basically never leave Buffalo. And my first thought was no potential owner of this franchise would ever say that. Because the truth is, at some point, there is going to be a come-to-Jesus moment here where it's going to probably take a new stadium and somewhat of a threat to move in order to keep this team viable in the long term. And I think whoever buys the team at some point is going to at least put that out there about the possibility of moving. And so that was the part that I initially looked at. But again, I think the ego part kind of keeps him in the ball game at least for a little while.
You're saying that's what they can hold as leverage, telling the fans, hey, we're going to step in now and we're going to get into some of the details. And Scott's talked about this before, 2020 being a big year there. But we're going to get into some of that. But you think that's leverage for the next owner?
And I think it's the thing that could eventually work to the benefit of Bills fans to keep the team here long term. In the short term, they're not going anywhere because of the lease. The provisions don't really allow it. But that window going into 2020 is what is going to force the hands of the community. As much as it just, some people just despise that corporate welfare, it's the reality of the NFL. And if they're going to want to keep the team, whoever it is that buys it is going to have that option of saying, people, I need your help if I'm going to keep this team here. And that's the opportunity to keep the team here long term.
All right, we're going to get to the phones in just a second. 263-WXXI, 263-9994. And today we debut a new 844 number because on Monday our broadcast is going to expand to Finger Lakes Public Radio. So 844-295-TALK, 844-295-TALK, if you want to join the conversation. And go ahead and do that now. Let's bring in Keith. Go ahead, Keith.
Evan, good show. A couple comments. Maybe your comment, or I am aware that I think Buffalo, they can't leave, but if they do, they have to pay a $72 million penalty to the state or to the county.
I heard $400 million, but it's a big penalty if they leave before 2020. Hold on a sec there, Keith. Is that –
Yes, that's right.
All right, so you can't move the franchise without essentially a $400 million. Nobody's going to pay a $400 million fee.
Is it a $400 million? I thought it was a $72 million.
It's a $400 million in 2020. There's a one-year option to pay a $28.4 million penalty.
There you go.
The other, and I don't think Donald Trump is – what he wants a football team in Trump Stadium, some way, place, perform. And secondly, Rob Johnson has a Super Bowl ring.
That is the last time we're allowed to say the words Rob Johnson together this hour, Keith. Thanks for the call. And to that point, how quickly would a Trump franchise rename their stadium Trump Place?
Very quickly. Yeah. Everything, the Trump Field House, the Trump this, the Trump that.
Trump bottled water, here it comes.
Keith did bring up an important point. 2020 is that year, and so you're not going to see the franchise move before then. But, Scott, if there's not a new stadium by 2020, is the franchise likely gone?
Well, again, it depends on the landscape. If there are stadiums available in other places, and obviously the city that hangs over all this always is Los Angeles because of the number of TV sets.
Despite their history of teams
failure,
that not work.
Doesn't matter. They're looking at the corporate dollars available there. Now, here's the thing. You know, somebody is going to buy this team right now, and they're going to have to do something that Ralph Wilson didn't do, and they're going to have to pay interest on this loan, you know, to have purchased this team. And there was an excellent story in the Buffalo News about 3 weeks ago, and they talked to several prominent sports economists, and they talked about the difference between Buffalo revenues and L.A. revenues. And it was a difference of $20 million a year at this point in terms of corporate dollars. That $20 million can go a long way towards paying off your loan, to purchase this franchise and so forth. So, we'll get into this, but the big question is going to be, the renovations of the Ralph or a new stadium. Somehow that question is going to have to be answered, I think, and this issue is going to come to a head.
If you want to join the conversation on the issue of Trump, would you support a team that was owned by Donald Trump? I think a lot of Bills fans who say no probably would turn around and say, hey, at least they're staying here. Would you support a largely taxpayer-funded new stadium to keep the team in Buffalo? And what do you want to see happen there? Now, I think Mike Catalano, I think a lot of fans that I've been sort of monitoring the conversation, there's some cynicism about, well, it's Buffalo, it's not as valuable a franchise. The price tag I see is $800 million, it could be a billion. What does that tell you about the value of just being in the NFL no matter where you are?
There's only 32 of them, and the value is greater than it is in its current state. And to Scott's point about moving at some point, if you own that franchise and have control of that franchise and they don't come up for sale very often, it is a valuable commodity. And you look at the way they continue to increase in value, and not just in the NFL. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks, the worst franchise in a small market in the NBA, are going to sell for almost $600 million, $560 million. Dollars. So the values continue to go up. So whoever buys the team, the basic guess is within 5 to 10 years, even staying in Buffalo, it's worth more than they pay for it.
The thing is, Evan, the purchase price right now, you aren't just purchasing for the franchise to be in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are going to have that leverage that if eventually, hey, I can't make it here, I gave it a shot and stuff, you're purchasing for that price to possibly move that franchise to Los Angeles, to San Antonio, to Toronto, wherever they decide. So that's why that price is so high now. You talk to economists and they'll tell you, like, no, you're not just purchasing the Buffalo Bills here. You're purchasing that NFL franchise with the possibility that you could move it.
And, you know, I hate to play devil's advocate here as a Bills fan, but that $400 million penalty that's at stake, is it could really just be a sticker price. If an owner says, I'm leaving, I don't care what you say, come after me, sue me in federal court, pay how many tens of hundreds of thousands of attorney fees.
But who's paying $400 million? Then
well,
that's
they could say, they'll say I'll give you $300,000 right now, I'll give you, you know, $300 million right now, I'll give you $250 million right now just to settle it, let us go, save legal fees, save the years of litigation. Just because there's a fine there doesn't mean that it's easily enforced.
I don't think that happens. I don't think the NFL would want that. I don't think they want an owner, because they have to approve moving.
Right.
And I think what you see when teams move, it's because they have gone through the opportunity to give that community a chance to basically be held at gunpoint and give them the money. So if Buffalo responds for that, it will be difficult for a new owner to move. It will, because the NFL does not want to be put in that position. The other thing you got to keep in mind, Toronto's out there, LA's out there, London is out there, whatever they are, the NFL is so good at keeping those carrots out there. It doesn't just help a potential franchise. It helps all franchises. It's the same thing they do with their TV contracts. They always keep a network sitting out there wanting more. They just had something today where ESPN's going to get a playoff game and they're moving some with NBC. They're very good at keeping those carrots out there. And they use Toronto, London, and LA, and they've been using LA for 20 years to get better deals for every other team. They'll continue to do that, even if, you know, London, I don't think they're moving a team to London anytime and whatever. They'll play a game over there, make everybody happy, but they love to keep that out there. But I really don't think anybody would have the opportunity to move it with the lease that the way it's currently set up. Or where are they going at the moment?
Right. And
there's no stadium to go to.
And it's interesting to see how the local community is going to step up. I saw today in the news, Andre Reed is getting a group of fundraisers together, not necessarily to buy the team, but just to help supplement the cost of the purchase to keep the team in the area. And that's private funding.
He's called the Buffalo Fan Alliance, and I don't know how much power a group like that can have. But, you know, again, you've got Andre Reed's face on there. How much currency that brings you, I don't know. We're going to talk about Jim Kelly's involvement in just a second. We do want to get back to the phones. And if you're just joining us, we're discussing the implications of what happens next with the Buffalo Bills. We're doing our best not to take Donald Trump seriously, but 13WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana has reminded us that this may be the one ego move that he can handle as opposed to running an election and losing. So that's the warning sign. There are other groups out there. We'll get to that in a minute. Scott Pitoniak's here, a journalist and author, and Peter Gregory's here, representing not only the fan perspective, but as an attorney in town, digging into some of the legal issues. But let's get back to the phones at 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Go ahead, Pete.
Good afternoon. The only way this team's going to stay in Buffalo is if the community owns it, and they should replicate the model in Green Bay, a very successful model. They're probably going to have a legal challenge because the NFL has a rule that Green Bay cannot be the model in Green Bay cannot be replicated, and it should be challenged. The multi-billion-dollar nonprofit NFL should be challenged.
Thanks, Pete. Mike and Scott were instantly, unfortunately, shaking their heads to that one. Why, Scott?
Well, because I agree with them. I would love to see that, and I think that you could make it work. But they aren't going to allow that. And who is going to bring the legal challenge and all the money that it's going to take to go against the NFL and its battery of lawyers and lobbyists and so forth? It's a pipe dream. I mean, when I was working at the Democrat Chronicle, I went out to Green Bay and we did a big story on how that all works and could it happen here. Yes, there are rules that prohibit that. These owners that, you know, in the NFL, they want other deep-pocketed individuals. They do not want a community ownership. It could work. I fully believe it could work if you allowed it to. They're not going to allow it to.
To Peter's point about the group that Andre Reed is joining and that this fan alliance, it's an attempt at a kind of a workaround to that. It is to set up this nonprofit group that would give interest-free loans to the new owner. Basically, they could consider themselves, you know, you're part of this group. It would be a similar thing. Now, what you wouldn't have is any voting rights or anything else based on the board of the team, but it's the idea workaround. Yeah, I think Buffalo, if you look at it, it would align very well with Green Bay as that type of community. Huge, you know, fan involvement, love of the team, years of that. Now, for many years, Green Bay was an abysmal failure. So we can't forget that. And they were playing half their games in Milwaukee, and then they started winning, and they renovated the stadium, and it's gangbusters now. And they're flush with money. And they, but I think to the point, again, it's all about if the NFL was worried, if this was Major League Soccer, and they were worried about coming up with an ownership group, they might be all for anything. They know there's another billionaire around the corner who's ready to step up, so they don't need to do it.
Right. There's willing and able buyers. There's no need for workarounds when it can be sold at arm's length.
Yeah. So. Leo in Rochester. Go ahead, Leo.
Yeah, I got a question. Just to talk, you know, if the team does stay in the area of the new stadium in Buffalo, but I remember years ago there was something in the news that if the Ralph was to be replaced, there was thoughts of building a stadium more in the Batavia area, which now you expand your market base to Rochester, hopefully Syracuse. So you're making the team more of a regional, you know, being a small market, more of a regional market. So what are your thoughts on that?
Thanks, Leo. And you once in a while you do hear Batavia come up. Scott, what do you hear?
No, you know, now the Southern Ontario has actually surpassed Rochester as the secondary market now for the Buffalo Bills. So it doesn't make as much sense as it may have before. And I still believe that you really have to be anchored to a community. I don't believe in this in the middle of. I mean, it's worked to a certain extent with New England, but that's a bigger, much bigger market. I mean, between Boston and Providence. And when they were bad, they weren't drawing real well there. I mean, they've been in this great run. So I think that, you know, the original plan was, and this made a lot of sense, was to build in Lancaster. And pardon the pun, it turned into a real political football, but that would have made much more sense back then. You know, to build it there, be closer to Rochester, cut a half hour off the commute, and you would probably draw some more fans from Syracuse, which is a split area. It's a Giants, Jets, Bills territory. It was a Bills territory when the Bills were doing well. And that's the other issue that we didn't, you know, in all this, you got to put a good product on the field eventually.
That makes it so hard to figure out what the overall basis is. Because when you're winning like Green Bay and New England have, it's easy for – you can put a team anywhere and they'll win. Do you agree with Scott's take there, Mike?
Absolutely. And when you look at, you know, on a very small scale, in comparison, we're sitting here looking out at Frontier Field, and then we're, you know, right around the corner is Salem Stadium. And how do these deals get done? Because politically, they need money. You need it from the state. You need it from communities. And in the vast majority of those cases, that's going to end up in a city. That's really what most of them are going to want. And that's why I do believe if there's ever a new stadium, I know you hear Niagara Falls and you hear about Batavia. I believe if there's ever a new stadium in Buffalo, it's going to be in downtown Buffalo. That's where I think it would be built. Because I think that would get more political support in the state than building in another Orchard Park type community, not in it with a main city.
One more Donald Trump question on the legal side of things. NFL owners are not supposed to be involved in gambling, and Donald Trump, we know, has been. Mike, Roger Goodell, if he really wants Donald Trump and likes the bid, is he going to create a workaround there, or will he make Donald Trump divest?
I didn't really know much about it until I'm reading again how much you can believe, but you know, Trump has common stock now, and the company's basically sold it as a marketing arm of what he has, and he can divest himself in that. I guess if he really wanted to do it, it would seem to me that of all the other issues that may be in front of Donald Trump, that might be the easiest one.
Lawyer in the room is Peter Gregory. What do you think?
I've heard that as well. There are plenty of options out there. He could put the assets in a blind trust over which he has no control or interest. So there are workarounds that around that. I think the bigger issue is the fact that if the owners don't want him, he's not joining.
Yeah.
You agree, Scott?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a personality issue. I mean, these are egos clashing here, and that's what it comes down to, and of course, the money.
But as much as – yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, when you said that, and we talked about it beforehand, Scott, personality issue. Why is Mark Cuban not the owner of the Chicago Cubs? Because they didn't want him.
Right.
He's got how many billion dollars? The owners didn't want him because he's Mark Cuban. Now, maybe baseball could have used a Mark Cuban, but they didn't want him. So I think to that point, if they don't want him, none of this matters.
But when it comes to moving the franchise, Mike, you mentioned that the NFL has held L.A. as sort of a carrot, kind of this implicit, hey, if your franchise doesn't get attacked in line, you can go to L.A. or now again Toronto, London, whatever. Don't you think, though, that Roger Goodell would love to see a thriving franchise in L.A. in that big of a market?
I think he would, but there are options there before Buffalo comes up. St. Louis to go back. Still San Diego, where they've had all kinds of political issues. And Lo and behold, the Oakland Raiders going back again.
Yeah.
Those three are very viable. And, you know, it's funny. I hear people say, I actually heard a national guy say, well, you know, if Buffalo moved to Toronto, they would still keep their fan base and whatever. Boy, I tell you, this is not California. This is not Raiders fans getting used to the team being in Oakland or L.A. I think if the team moves, they move. And I don't – I mean, unless you move it to Rochester or Batavia – you're not keeping your fan base there. Maybe it works well for some of those other teams, but I think it's got to be Buffalo. But to that point, yeah, they keep that carrot out there. Luckily for Buffalo at the moment, these other ones have to get addressed first because they all need stadiums too.
All right, we're going to take the very, very short break, and we're going to come back and talk about Jim Kelly's potential involvement, just how seriously we should think about that, and other possibilities, John Bon Jovi and maybe some others, other possibilities that are out there. Who does our panel think are the leading contenders right now, and when will we see a decision? It's all coming up here on Connections on this Tuesday afternoon. You can see Mike Catalana every night on 13 WHAM News and Sports. Scott Pitoniak, you can read in the Rochester Business Journal, among many other places, and how many books are out now, Scott? You should know this.
I think it's 18. I mean, once I contributed to it. It's about 20, 22, I think.
Okay, and so Scott's got, you can find Scott as well. Peter, I hope you don't need Peter's service. He's an attorney, but he's also a Bills season ticket holder and a fan.
So between the three of us, we've contributed to 22 books.
Right?
I'll sign on to that.
Shortest break in radio and more on Connections with you next. Stay with us. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and join the conversation as we talk about the future of the Buffalo Bills in Western New York. 263-WXXI, 263-9994, but that number is going to change. We'll eventually scrap it, but we'll keep it for a little while, and then we're going to switch over to the 844 number. You can join the conversation at 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Jim Kelly is going through a lot, as we know. He's dealing with cancer, and that's obviously priority one for him and his family. And yet, Jim Kelly has asked, Mike Lindell was his brother, to at least say that he wants to be a player in this conversation about what happens with the ownership of the Bills. What kind of a player could he be?
I think it's consistent with what Jim has said the whole time, is he's going to do whatever he can to make sure the team stays here. Jim Kelly is like an ambassador for the Bills. He's paid by the Bills. He loves the Bills. He stayed in Western New York. He's getting this immense support. I think he wants to be part of whatever's going on. I think anybody who buys this team, especially if they want to, you know, plan on trying to keep the team, is going to want Jim as part of it. Ownership is a totally different place. I mean, as we're talking about this money, the individual owner for the Buffalo Bills has to have between $300 and $400 million of their own money invested in the team. And Jim has done, you know, well for himself as an individual, but he's not in that ball game. So I think sometimes when fans will say to all of us, hey, how about Jim Kelly buying the team?
Right.
He's not going to buy the team. And I think Jim, I again, especially even now, I mean, everybody's thoughts are just with Jim and getting healthy and all that. But Jim's going to want to be part of whatever it is. And at whatever level, I guess we'd have to wait to see. If it was Donald Trump,
right,
they obviously have a relationship. You mentioned the USFL. He brought him to his USFL team
right
before it folded, but he brought him to his team. So I think Jim could and should be part of any of those things, but it's not going to be as a main financial person.
Well, Scott, for all the Bills fans who say, I don't want to see Donald Trump own a team, if Donald Trump got involved seriously and Jim Kelly became the public face of it, well, Donald Trump is still going to be the ego in the face of it, but if Jim Kelly was involved, wouldn't that soften it?
It certainly would soften it, and I agree with Mike. Whomever this is, whether it's an individual or consortium, whatever, that purchases this team, really needs Jim Kelly's stamp of approval. because that's going to really help in terms of giving them credibility right away with the fan base. You know, I talked to Jim on a number of occasions in the last 5 years about this issue, and he would say, like, look, I can't really talk too much publicly. I've got a personal services contract. I love Ralph Wilson. You know, it's just kind of really indelicate here to get in and talk about someone's morbidity and stuff. But he said, I've been approached by a number of people. There was, one of them was rumored to be a Canadian group, in Montreal that really had the money. The bottom line here, though, is like Jim can, he's obviously sincere when he says he wants to keep the team here and so forth, and he will give that credibility initially to whomever the owner is. But the bottom line is going to be whether or not this area can support it. And the whole stadium issue and corporate dollars and whatever, it's going to be, in the end, it's going to be a business decision. If somebody decides, like after 5 years, well, I gave it a shot, Jim, I really tried to keep it here, but it ain't working. Got to go someplace else where we can really maximize our profits.
That's one of the lessons we've learned so far this hour from Mike, Peter, and Scott, is that whoever comes in next and says, we'll never move the team until there's a new stadium there, I guess. You don't know that, right, Mike?
That's the economics of the NFL, and they'll try to figure. And again, I go to the point, even if they believe that Buffalo won't respond, and the idea of the owner is to come in, I'm going to say this, he's going to have to give the Western New York area the opportunity to do that. And it's Ralph Wilson's legacy. I believe Ralph gave Western New York this opportunity. He really did. I mean, people always want to say, do you have this deal? What he's saying is somebody's going to buy it. If it's somebody from, even somebody from Western New York who loves the team, he's given Western New York this opportunity. Again, whether you like it or not, the truth is at some point the area, and it's going to be tax dollars, is going to have to pony up to keep them here.
So you don't fault him, and I'm going to go around the room and ask everyone this question, but you brought it up, I'll start here. You don't fault him, as some fans do, and we'll see what Peter says. You don't fault him for not having this figured out before his passing.
No, because he doesn't know, first of all, he doesn't know the landscape for the team and the ownership. I guess if you said to him, could you have an agreement with somebody that is going to pay market value at the time of my death? I don't know what businessman's going to make that deal anyhow, and then guarantee that the team is staying there. And I'm telling you this, even if Jeremy Jacobs buys the team, it doesn't mean it's staying in Buffalo forever. I mean, this is the reality is going to set in at a certain point for the long-term future of the team. And that's why I say is I don't know if there's any guarantee. Based on what I've read and heard, he's given this window. It's almost ironclad that they can't move in that first 6 years. And then at that point, it's kind of like he's saying, all right, kids, I gave you everything, gave you your college education.
You figure
you're here.
It out.
Now at this point, you're on your own. And I think that's what it is.
Peter, what do you think? As a fan, as a season ticket holder, are you frustrated that your team doesn't have this figured out?
Well, it's hard to fault Ralph Wilson for not putting plans in advance, because there would have been some significant financial consequences to making those arrangements before he passed. You mentioned he purchased a team in 1959. He paid $25,000 for it. So that's his tax basis for his investment. So had he sold it for $900 million, the capital gains taxes on that kind of transaction would just be crushing. So the fact that he's now passed and it transfers to his wife, there would be actually estate taxes at issue. But because he transferred to his wife, there's an exemption there. So now, as long as she's alive, there's no tax implications from the transfer of this property.
So in other words, it's easy for us to stand on the sideline and say, Ralph, you were 95. You should have figured it out. There were plenty of reasons that it went the way it did.
I would argue that he did. He did plan it and figure it out. Ralph Wilson's a smart guy. He went to law school. He inherited his father's businesses. He knew what he was doing, and he surrounded himself with intelligent people. I think the smartest thing he did to keep it in Buffalo was the lease, and that's going to add some teeth to the transfer.
And Scott, even if he hadn't, as Peter has noted, okay, there's a financial reason not to, and we all can understand that. But there doesn't seem to have been much more of a plan beyond that in place. What do you think?
No, but I agree with Peter. I think the gift he gave was the lease. I think signing that, and to Mike's point, I think it's bought some time here. Now, it's up to the area to prove, and for better or worse, I mean, do we deserve the team? And I'm not a big proponent of throwing taxpayer money at stadiums. I hate this thing. As a journalist, we're supposed to protect the taxpayers and tell the truth. I don't want to see the team move, but I really have a difficult time giving corporate welfare to individuals, especially a league, as an earlier caller pointed out, that is a nonprofit and is worth right now like something like $13 billion and just continuing to let them pay for this.
They're a nonprofit, just in ironic terms.
Yeah,
that's a pretty profitable nonprofit. But are we ever going to get to the point? We'll get back to the phones in a second. Are we ever going to get to the point where a league like the NFL or Major League Baseball or otherwise says, okay, there's 32 franchises or 31, et cetera, and every team is going to kick in $15 million and here's your stadium? I mean, that's what fans want. I doubt it'll happen.
Well, I'll take you back to the whole success of the NFL is based on the decision made by one man, Wellington Mara, the owner of the New York Football Giants. And Wellington Mara agreed to Pete Rozelle's plan for revenue sharing. I don't think that happens today. You know, probably. I mean, with the Jerry Joneses and the Daniel Snyders of the world and the Robert Krafts even. I don't think they agree to something like that because, wait a minute, you know, they're going to worry about themselves. They're not going to worry about. But if that didn't happen, the NFL would never be where it is right now if he did not agree to that. And, you know, so why couldn't there be some, you know, we talked about Ralph Wilson being the conscience of the NFL. And, you know, I don't know if there is one right now. I don't know if Robert Kraft even, you know, for a lot of the good that he's done, if he would be willing to say, like, this is what we need to do, you know, if we're going to be viable. And, you know, the NFL is on top right now. But if you study history, doesn't mean they're going to be on top forever.
Sure.
I mean, look at sports like boxing at one time was as big as any sport in this country. What is it? Where is it now? Where is boxing now?
Yeah, you know? It's a niche of a niche. But, Mike, I guess that means that barring what Scott's talking about, Buffalo and this region will have to have a conversation. Taxpayers will have to have a conversation to decide what's more important. And there's nothing wrong with that, right?
No, and it's just the reality of the league. And is it fair? Well, no. Right? You'd say, well, no, it shouldn't be. You know, when people will say that, and I agree with them. Why should we be bailing out a league that, again, you know, the league is set up to be a nonprofit and the commissioner was compensated, I think, $38 million last
41.
Year. 41. 41. Oh, so you got a little bit more.
What's $3 million?
Yeah. But at the same time, okay, it's not fair. Okay.
What are you going
to
do about
it? Well, this is it because the gun is to the head. That this is what it is. This is the reality. And you can hold your ground and say, let them walk. And that may make you feel good, but that's going to be mostly people who don't care. Look at even with the Yankees and their deal, even if things are privately financed, there is so much state money that goes into those things that is done in different ways that maybe, you know, again, is it publicly financed? And there's ways because there's advantages to baseball teams to make it privately financed to avoid things with the luxury taxes. There's ways around a lot of this, but it's going to end up being public money. There's no doubt.
Before I jump back on the phones, Peter, as the fan in the room and the taxpayer in the room who doesn't live in Buffalo, but would you be willing to see more of your tax dollars go into a new stadium?
Well, I'm already paying for a new stadium with my season tickets.
You're going to have to pay more if you want to keep this franchise.
You know, I think that's something you need to leave up to the elected representatives. Yeah. There need to be town halls, pull the voters and see what they want. You know, the reality is that if they did want to leave, there would be another municipality offering a silver platter for them to move into another town.
That's true. Bernard in Fairport, thanks for calling, Bernard. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not very interested in football. So as a taxpayer, my question is, can anybody give me a number for the value of Buffalo to New York and the state and the city and the people? And oh, by the way, if you could give me a number, I would think that would kind of screw up the negotiations because these, you know, the 0.1% know how to negotiate. But anyway, is there any dollar value of Buffalo that can actually be talked about? Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Bernard.
Well, there's the people vastly more intelligent than I am about economics will tell you that there really is, in most cases, no economic value measurable that shows you that it was worth building the stadium and so forth. We get into things beyond that, like quality of life. There's no question that an NFL franchise has made Buffalo a major league city. I mean, it's a similar population as the SMSA here in Rochester, right? I mean, 1.2 billion, a million, 1.1 million. But, I mean, we're a minor league city except for golf. They are a major league city having an NFL franchise, more so than, you know, much more so than having the Sabres.
But there's no equation that you can look at.
Nope, and I don't think it would ever make sense financially. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you would say in your family, we're going to buy that vacation house. Does it make sense financially? Maybe in a lot of cases, no, but it's about quality of life. It's more of a luxury, and I think it helps you in a lot of ways. But if you looked at the bottom line, it's not a good bottom line thing. But to Scott's point, what else is Buffalo? Buffalo is known, oh yeah, we get the snow and the chicken wings, but they're known for the Bills and to some extent the Sabres. That's what separates them from us. It's what separates them from a lot of communities because they're still viable that way.
Well, there would be some revenue benefits. You know, athletes, when they compete in New York, they have to pay income tax for each game that they play in New York. You're charging sales tax on all these $80 jerseys that are being sold in Orchard Park, but it's still, compared to the amount of breaks that may be offered, it may not even out.
Evan Dawson on Twitter, Jeremy wants to know about Jon Bon Jovi, and that name has come up. Mike Catalano, what do we know about Jon Bon Jovi?
Here's what I know about him. You know who he's good friends with? Bill Belichick. Now everybody talks about it. You look at Belichick's personality, and here's this rocker. He loves the Patriots. He's buddies with Bob Kraft, who's a good person to be friends with in the NFL. Yeah. But he's definitely appears to be, in whatever interest he has, tied to more of the Toronto group and the Canadian group. I don't think Jon Bon Jovi, based on what I've read about his personal wealth, which is phenomenal, but is the guy who can write the check for the whole team, which is what usually they're looking for. But he could be part of a group and part of a group that would not seem to be as committed to keeping the team in Buffalo.
Scott, when people hear Jon Bon Jovi's name, the fans I've talked to feel like he'd be the guy, or as Mike said, he'd be the guy in the group that would take them out of here.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, that's been his kind of his public comments so far, you know, is that he's a front man. He does have a lot of money, but the pockets aren't deep enough, him alone. He's going to be a front man for a group. And yeah,
a little different than a front man than Jim Kelly.
Yes.
He'd be much more of a minority, a bigger stake.
Yes. I mean, you look at there's a somewhat similar situation with the Miami Dolphins. There's a number of entertainers. I believe Gloria Estefan and a number of other entertainers are part of a consortium that owns the Miami Dolphins now. So it would be somewhere along those lines. Maybe he would have more influence that way. He could be a vocal minority owner. And I always think back to the line of the minority owners that the Yankees had with George Steinbrenner, which was everybody, right? I mean, he was a minority owner.
Yeah, I think he still owns part of the Philadelphia Soul with Ron Jaworski, the indoor team. I know he did before. But in my opinion, if there's going to be a rocker from Jersey, I would rather it be Springsteen. But that's just
not going to I'll second that.
The room agrees on that one. Norm in Rochester. Go ahead, Norm.
Yeah, have you guys talked yet about the Green Bay ownership model and possibilities of Buffalo, or also something more creative than just taxpayer-funded stadium? There must be some arrangements that happen somewhere in the world, because there are stadiums all over that are very expensive where you know, it's maybe a long-term loan, or it's directly connected to the profitability of the team, or something where the ownership would actually pay back taxpayers, but over a long period.
Yeah, Norm, on your first point, the panel did talk about the potential parallel to Green Bay because of a number of league rules and sort of the climate of the league right now. Highly unlikely that could happen in Buffalo, even as appealing as it sounds to the fans. Not likely at all.
Okay.
What about a creative solution
for
a stadium?
Kind of the idea of this fan group, again, if it ever were to take off, where there would be money there to loan to an owner, which obviously an interest-free loan is a pretty good gig for an owner if that was the case, for him to be paying back. Again, this is a group that's just forming. And they're talking
yeah, Norm,
about,
he's yeah. talking about Andre Reed getting involved with sort of a fan association, kind of the more modern version of what's going on in Green Bay.
Yeah, and it's, you know, to that point, the Green Bay Packers just in the last 5 years underwent tremendous renovations to Lambeau Field, and those were funded by selling more stock, non-voting stock, and they sold, I forget what the figure was, but it was an enormous amount of money just so people could have a certificate and say, I am a owner, a non-voting owner of the Green Bay Packers.
Let's make sure we wrap this hour by making sure we talk about any other possibilities. I heard the name Jeremy Jacobs. I don't know the name. Mike?
He's a Buffalo. They own Delaware North. Family-owned. They own the Boston Bruins, which then becomes the issue of he couldn't be the owner. Terry Pegula could, because the NFL rules allow if you own another franchise in that same market, you could own another one. Jeremy Jacobs and that family is extremely wealthy, worth over $3 billion, I believe is what I read. He has his sons. Again, then there's also a group that have been quiet, much to what Scott said about Jim Kelly. They're not going to be commenting publicly on Ralph Wilson while Ralph Wilson was still alive. Bad form in Buffalo.
But they've been in the background for a while?
Yes. Yeah. And that's a Western New York family. And, you know, and the other one, of course, we haven't mentioned Tom Golisano the whole time.
Right.
But yeah. I don't.
And the thing with the Jacobs, they can, if the Suns were to own the team, they can get around, they can circumvent that NHL owning the Boston Bruins. And that's been talked about as well. You could also look at a group of these people. You know, you could see, like, you know, because these guys want to keep the team here in Western New York, you could see Golisano and Jeremy Jacobs. Another name that's kind of interesting, Bob Rich.
Yeah.
Who is worth about $3 billion.
Connected to Rich Stadium?
Rich Stadium.
Well, right.
Rich Dairy Products. And you know, wanted to bring a Major League Baseball team here originally to Buffalo and owns the Bisons and so forth. So there is money. There is corporate money here. And people who grew up here and who have a deep appreciation for the area, you know, again, who becomes the boss? You know, these are big ego guys.
All right, panel. So since you're here and you're on the record, we can revisit this at a future date. And I don't know the timeline, by the way, for when this has to start getting fleshed out here.
I think what I've read is when Mary Wilson and the group put a dollar amount on the team and make it considered available for sale. So I don't know. I think it's going to be relatively soon, though. I think it's within – I mean, there's some people saying within this year, within by October – or November, they're going to start getting offers for the team.
Wouldn't that be interesting? The team plays its season in the midst of all of that.
Oh, yeah.
That could happen.
Yep.
So if we're our best guess of the next donor, Mike?
I'm going to say the Jacobs family. I'm going to say because they quiet money Buffalo. That's what I say.
Scott Petoniak.
I totally agree. I think they're going to be the people that are going to keep it here. Their name's been mentioned for years and years, and I think they're the ones.
Peter Gregory?
I have to concur. I've heard the same thing.
Wow. There's supposed to be dissension on that one. But that, as we've said, and if you're just joining us in the hour here, we're talking about all these issues pertaining to Western New York. I think one of the conclusions is that if the NFL did not exist and was formed today, Buffalo would not be...
Not even close.
Not be one of the cities. So the city has to make some decisions, almost certainly involving a new stadium that will probably be largely taxpayer financed. And that's a hard decision because, as Scott has said, there's a lot of good reasons to resist that kind of corporate welfare, as you've said, Scott. But the city does have a franchise. As Mike has said, there's only 32 of them.
Yeah.
And it's like having a little piece of gold.
And something's going on in Buffalo. You know, you go downtown. I don't know where it's really coming from. I know Governor Cuomo loves Buffalo. And you go down there, and there are, you know, the billion, and it is really seems to be coming around for a lot of reasons. So the shame of it would be if that city starts to make this comeback and then the bills go out the door. So I think there's a lot of people who do still want to keep it there.
Last prediction, will the taxpayers of the Buffalo area decide to go with supporting a new stadium?
I think if it gets to the point where it's support or goodbye, there'll be enough support at least to make the plea, and I think they'll get it done. Again, I don't think you want to be the governor in place at the time when the bills go out the door. And he said all the right things now, but who knows who's going to be the governor in 6 years.
So we could see some state support.
Oh, I think it's...
Oh, you're going to... But I think it goes down, though, if it comes up to a public referendum. These things never pass. So, I mean, you have a debate on this, but don't put it on a ballot.
Right.
Or this thing's going to get defeated because people defeat things. We've seen this with school budgets.
Yeah.
Elected leaders will have to come in and make a decision here. Well, Peter, I hope you still have season tickets 10 and 20 years from now.
Absolutely. Me too.
But at the same time, I do understand the debate about making sure tax dollars are used wisely. It is not going to be an easy call. It'll be fun to watch for the rest of the year. Mike Catalano from 13 WHAM Sports, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Evan.
Scott Petoniak from the Rochester Business Journal and many other publications. Always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Evan.
And Peter, first time in the studio. Nice to talk to a Bills fan, a ticket holder, and
go Bills.
Maybe my attorney. I hope I don't need you. We appreciate it. Next hour, the mixed drink revolution comes to Rochester. That's next on Connections.